Money Radio, thanks so much for joining us and joining us now. It's a pleasure to welcome two of three co-authors of a brand new book, Leveraging Your Financial Intelligence at the Intersection of Money, Health, and Happiness. And joining us, it's a pleasure to welcome Doug Linick. Doug, good afternoon.
Thank you, Sinclair. I appreciate being invited. I'm very much looking forward to it.
And your co-author, Ryan Goulart. Ryan, thank you.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
There's actually a third author involved, Roy Geer. First of all, tell me about your co-author, and why did it take three guys to write one book?
Well, interestingly enough, Roy Geer, sadly, passed away last March. And when I was young in the financial services industry, Roy Geer became one of my mentors. So I met him, I was 22 and he was 47. And I am now 65. And he, his birthday last fall would have made him 89. And he passed away. And he and I had written a book together years ago called How to Get What You Want and Remain True to Yourself. And he was somebody I learned a lot from. And over the years, our relationship evolved. And he wanted to write one more book before he passed away. And unfortunately, he passed away during the process of us completing the book. So that's what happened to Roy. But wonderful man. Taught me a lot, learned a lot from him, and then what we did when Roy and I decided to add Ryan is a millennial, I am a boomer, and Roy was part of that silent generation, and so the only group we didn't have in there was the Gen Xers, but my son's a Gen Xer, and I tell him, you guys just don't matter.
Well, tell us about the perspective that you bring, Ryan, as a millennial, because you actually do kind of break it down in some demographics. It's a little bit different trying to figure out financial intelligence and money and health and happiness depending upon what generation you're in, isn't it?
Yeah, and the contribution that I've made to the book and to the story that we tell throughout Leveraging Your Financial Intelligence is that it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. What matters is if you understand your own values to help you guide you through the financial stress that you're inevitably going to experience and develop the necessary habits and skills to help you manage that. And so we tell a variety of stories from the millennial perspective in which in some cases that occurs where they do it successfully. And I think what's mostly in the mainstream media is that of the stories of when they don't and how much financial stress things like student debt have really been, this generation's been burdened with. So we try to highlight both sections and try to emulate the idea that, you know, financial stress is inevitable, but it's how you manage it that you are able to succeed.
Let's talk about this intersection of money, health, and happiness, because they really are correlated. They are connected. We can think about, as you were just saying, financial stress. We pay for financial stress many times with our health, for example.
Well, absolutely true. You know, what we know is that when financial stress goes up, one's ability to handle things emotionally goes down, and then irrational decision making and behavior goes up. And then physical health, financial health, emotional well-being, and happiness all go down. We actually use the metaphor of an M and a W, and I just described for you the M, which is miserable. That's a miserable place to be. But the wisdom is the W, and that's the that inverts the whole thing, where when people are prepared financially, and this is how you leverage your financial intelligence, is if one prepares oneself financially for uncertainty, what we call the certainty of uncertainty. So if I know that no matter what happens financially, I am prepared for it to have happened. Premature death, disability, long-term care needs, stock market goes up, stock market goes down. And we've experienced here even in recent days a lot of market volatility. You know, if I'm prepared for all of that, then my financial stress will go down. So my stress goes down, my ability to handle things emotionally goes up, my irrational decision-making and behavior goes down, and my physical health, my financial health, and my emotional well-being or happiness all go up. So that's the intersection. And what we've been able to demonstrate in our book with all the research that we accessed is this is there is data to prove everything I just said.
In fact, there is quite a bit of data in the book and some really intriguing data as well. For example, the idea that income and health are correlated. In other words, if you have a certain level of income, you're probably going to live longer.
Yes, and after a point, how much money you have no longer matters. So after a point, you know, having more isn't necessarily better, but having enough. So what we have experienced and learned to be true is that if people have sufficient money to meet their needs and to allow for them to meet their obligations, they will be healthier.
That was an interesting part of it. You brought up the Angus Deaton study, Angus Deaton, the Nobel Economics laureate, and he talks about how much is enough. And apparently the number is somewhere right around $75,000.
Yes, adjusted for where in the world you might be or where in the United States you might be. So, you know, we often say there is a difference between $75,000 in Manhattan, Kansas, and $75,000 in Manhattan, New York.
Right.
You know, so recognizing that, the concept is basically right. So that once you are at that level, then you're basically okay. You have enough, and then what you have above that is just a scoreboard, you know. And so there's no evidence that, you know, billionaires or multimillionaires are healthier or happier, and in fact many of them are more miserable. So it's not about having more is not necessarily better. It's how you handle it, and Ryan spoke about that a little bit earlier.
And what about happiness? How does this fit into the equation? What is the correct balance or alignment that we find with happiness in money and health?
Well, you know, I'll say something, and Ryan may want to add to this, but one of the things that we have acknowledged is happiness is a state of mind. It's not a state of affairs. And Ryan said this earlier when he talked about values and aligning with values. People who align their behaviors with the things that are most important to them, their values, they tend to be happier. And people who have the financial ability to do that, that makes it easier. You know, so for example, I happen to be a grandfather. I'm a parent, but I'm also a grandfather. I only have one grandchild, but and he's 10 years old. And one of the things I like doing, and it gives me great pleasure and makes me happier, is to do things with my grandson, and he lives in Los Angeles. I live in Minneapolis, and financially, we're able to make it work so that we can see each other fairly regularly, and that brings me happiness. So aligning my behavior with my values makes me happier. And Ryan said that earlier. Ryan, would you add to anything what I just said?
No, I think that was really well said and so true.
Well, Ryan, let me ask you, because you're a millennial and you're familiar with some of these terms, what is a witty whiffy, and why is it important that I ask this question?
That is a fun question to answer because a witty whiffy is a process that Roy Geer actually pioneered and was one of the main tools that Doug learned that many years ago. And witty whiffy is an acronym that stands for what do you want for yourself? And Roy would say that it's a rightfully selfish process. So it doesn't mean that provided that you're able to make your goals are in alignment with your values. And so it's important because it allows for people to understand that there are things that they can decipher between if it's a goal or a want, and wants are goals that pass the acid test, or other way around, sorry. And it's a process that really just helps people identify how they are able to align with their values and their goals through the witty whiffy process to their behavior and things that they can actually do every day to achieve what they want. Doug, would you add anything more to that?
No, I mean, yeah, well, I will. I was going to say no, and then I was going to add something that didn't seem right. But, you know, the idea is, as Ryan said, that getting what one wants for oneself is a rightfully selfish process, providing what one wants is in harmony with their values. And so the concept of witty whiffy, what do you want for yourself, is what are the key activities, what are the things you need to do to get what you want consistent with your values. And so what we have found is people who have used this tool, and we're literally talking about thousands of people, so there's lots of data points that tell us that people who know what they want and people who identify the plan to achieve what they want, those people have greater success than those who don't. And, you know, that may be the great duh of all time, but it is in fact true. And yet a lot of people are afraid to say what they want because they're afraid they won't do it. But the process of even stating what they want increases the odds of them getting it. And so what we have found is if we can help people align their behaviors with their goals with their values, they will be happier, they will be financially more successful, and they will be physically healthier.
And here's a little of what I took from the book in regard to that is it allows you to visualize your goals, and that can lead to a plan. And I think one of the surest ways to financial success is to have a plan. An actual written plan is a marvelous thing. And once you have a written plan, you can then implement that plan. How do you implement a plan if you don't have one? It gets to be difficult, but if you want a roadmap to success, get yourself a plan. And you have a plan that you talk about in the book. You call it the Smart Money Plan. We will talk about that as we continue our conversation with Doug Linick and Ryan Goulart, co-authors of Leveraging Your Financial Intelligence at the Intersection of Money, Health, and Happiness. We'll continue in just a moment. Thanks so much for joining us. Our guests, Doug Linick and Ryan Goulart, co-authors along with Roy Geer of a new book, Leveraging Your Financial Intelligence at the intersection of money, health, and happiness. It's such an important intersection because these are the things that we're really looking for. Most of us, we're trying to find a certain level of financial security or freedom or whatever it may be. We all want to be healthy, and everybody wants to be happy. Let's talk for a moment, though, about the values. Let's talk about wisdom. And I'm reminded of an old prayer. It's typically associated with AA, but I always liked it anyway. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Guys, I don't know where the Dow's going to be at the end of 2018, much less 2025. I don't know what's going to happen to housing prices over the next 3 years. I don't know if I may have a health event that interrupts my finances at some point in the next few years. I don't know all this stuff, and I study a lot of this stuff. So how do I come up with a plan, and how do I deal with it in a wise manner?
That's a great question, Sinclair. And also, by the way, I love the Serenity Prayer. I think that's a powerful prayer, and we should all probably say it more often than we do. But I will say this, what we have done is we have helped people be exposed to something we call the smart money philosophy. And the smart money philosophy is just a philosophy that we advocate that positions people such that whenever there is a need for money, there's a smart place to get it. And the smart money philosophy prepares people for the certainty of uncertainty. You know, because to your point, you said it really well. You know, we don't know how the markets are going to end in 2018. We don't know what our own health, we don't even know if we're going to live till the end of 2018. We don't know if we're alive, if we're going to be healthy and alive. We don't know if we're going to be dealing with health issues. We don't know. We don't know if the stock markets will be up. We don't know if the stock markets will be down. And so the whole idea of the smart money philosophy is to prepare ourselves for all of that so that we know that no matter what happens financially, we're prepared. So I am married. My children are all adults. They have all moved on. And so I concern myself less about them, although I care about them. You know, I still remain concerned about my wife. I want to make sure that if something happens to me, she's going to be fine. And so we've created our own version of the smart money philosophy. So if I die, she's going to be fine. If either of us becomes disabled or needs some kind of care, long-term care, nursing care, health care, we're going to be fine. And we've structured it such that if the stock market goes up, we're going to be fine. And if the stock market goes down, we're going to be fine. So there is nothing that can happen that will interrupt us being prepared. So we're ready for everything. And the fact that we're ready for everything helps me feel less stress, helps her feel less stress. You know, in fact, my father-in-law just recently passed away, and my parents are both deceased. My mother-in-law is still alive. I see her regularly. She lives on the East Coast. We live in the Midwest. And I just always reinforce the notion that you are fine. There is nothing that can happen that will prevent you from not being okay. I said, the only thing that I will say is after you hit 110 years of age, we're going to have to look at this again.
Probably a good time to reassess. The book is Leveraging Your Financial Intelligence at the Intersection of Money, Health, and Happiness. Leveraging Your Financial Intelligence. Our guest today, two of the co-authors, Doug Linick and Ryan Goulart. It's a well-written book, some good research, and clearly it got me thinking about some questions. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Sinclair.
Thank you.